Welcome everybody to this evening's teleseminar called How to Create Big Juicy Goals. My name is Damien Chen and it's a great pleasure to welcome each and every single one of you. Now, we've had people register from 10 different countries around the world to find out about how to create big juicy goals. So whether you're in Australia, Canada, Germany, New Zealand, Romania, South Africa, South Korea, Spain, the UK or the US, I'd just like to take this opportunity to welcome you and I hope everything's going brilliantly for you in your part of the world. Now I'll be introducing our very special guest this evening, Jamie Kessel, in a very short moment from now, but before I do that I just wanted to give everyone a bit of a rundown on how this evening's call will work. Now, the call is going to run for around about an hour. And over the course of that hour, I'll be spending a bit of time just asking Jamie a little bit more about her experience with creating big juicy goals and also finding out a little bit more about Jamie's story. And then towards the end of the call, we'll also hopefully have a time to open up the call and get people to ask any questions that may have that have come up during the call. Now, also when I was actually setting up the call and people were signing up for it, we also gave people an opportunity to ask their own specific questions around goal setting. And we had some fantastic questions actually come through. And I've just compiled a list of questions that I will be going through with Jamie. And a lot of the calls actually got categorised into different themes. So even if I don't answer your question specifically on the call, just please do listen out for the other people's questions because there's a very good chance that it may actually answer the query that you had personally have. Now, to give you a little bit of background on Jamie, I first came across Jamie probably 9 months ago, I'd say, now. And I was introduced to Jamie by a very good friend of mine called Bruce Music. Now, Bruce, I've interviewed on the call before, so you may have heard of me mention Bruce before. And leading up to the seminar, Bruce and I are actually very good friends, and he'd spoken so much about Jamie, he really gave her a big sort of talking up. I just thought, wow, this Jamie must be quite an exceptional person for Bruce to be holding us in such high regard. And anyway, I went along to one of Bruce's London seminars last year, and it was an amazing event, and I had the opportunity to experience Jamie's work firsthand. And I guess over the years, I've had the opportunity to see lots of different presenters. The real quality that Jamie brings to her presentations and her seminars is just her real enthusiasm. And also there's a real genuine interest in helping people be who they are and feel happy with who they are. So it's a great pleasure for me to have this opportunity to welcome Jamie to the call. How are you doing, Jamie?
Thank you, Damien. I'm great.
For people who have just joined the call, you were just saying how cold it is over in Canada at the moment.
Absolutely.
So hopefully, yeah, we'll have quite a fiery call, so you'll be nice and warm by the end of it.
Exactly.
Okay, so I thought the perfect place for us to kick the call off, Jamie, was actually just really finding out what exactly are big juicy goals. I was just wondering if you could let us all in on that.
The term big juicy goals I started using when basically, and it was actually reflected also in the questions that people emailed in, was how to overcome fear when it comes to your goals. Because something always comes up for people when they're setting goals out of their comfort zone. And I just started using the term big and juicy when it was something that was so exciting to you, it got your eyes bright and your blood pumping so much that it was worth it to go through the fear or to overcome the fear to get it.
Have you always been sort of in that frame of mind where you've been setting big juicy goals for yourself?
No, not at all.
Is this something you've discovered over the years?
Yeah, it's very few people who teach things because they were originally really good at it. We had to learn, and I didn't come from a goal-setting family. That wasn't. Some people got raised that way, I'm fine to my clientele, and some, like myself, didn't. It's not something we did. There's a very much a survival mentality of just get through the day, and then we'll go from there. But what I started to notice is that this work I really dived into about 5 years ago was a lot of things in my life that I thought would just happen weren't. why didn't I have the relationship I wanted? Why wasn't I living in the place that I wanted? Why wasn't my business taking off? Like, all these things I had assumed were going to happen didn't. And I got introduced to this concept of goal setting and realized, well, I wasn't actually telling the universe or myself or clarifying in my business, in my life, what I wanted, and therefore taking the steps to get it. And when it comes to the idea that big, juicy goals was what happened once I started setting goals and getting them, I really started to realize that the sky was the limit, and every time I set something that I thought was outrageous and it occurred, then I would set something even bigger, and that's where I teach with total confidence now that you can have these outrageously big goals because nothing will actually be in your way to get them as long as you do some of the things that we're going to be talking about in this call.
Now with your work, Jamie, you fly all around the world now as a trainer and speaker. And I was just wondering, was that actually a vision and a goal that you'd set for yourself to be connecting with audiences all over the world?
Absolutely. 100%. And that's where it really started to get me, because when I set the goal that I wanted to be an international speaker, and I remember the January that I did it, I had my first international gig booked within a couple of months. Now, I'm already starting to reference some of the questions we got when people talked about goals being realistic. There was nothing realistic about me coming from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, becoming an international speaker, if you wanted to break it down. But the fact is, I said it, I did it, I put all my energy into it, and it came up quicker than you could imagine.
Yeah. And I was just wondering, Jamie, like with that sort of period 5 years ago when you were actually starting out or starting on this path, mm-hmm. and sort of connecting with the power of goals, did you actually just stumble over it yourself, or was there a particular teacher?
Actually, it was through, as many people probably know from the bio, most of my work is rooted in NLP, or Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
Okay.
And it was my NLP instructor at the time that had put on a weekend workshop that was specifically around goals and based on how to program your mind, how to program the unconscious mind to attract these goals and achieving them into your life. And it was like a light bulb went off the minute I took that course. And I took the material and I ran with it after that and added different people's teachings and my own learnings and different joint ventures. I got different information and kept honing the work in the workshop from there. But that's where it started for me in that specific vein.
Yeah. And on the workshop, the one thing I really took away from actually watching both you and Bruce work together on the stage was that this wasn't really just a theoretical approach to goal setting. Both of you are really active in your participation of not only creating big goals for yourselves personally, but also in terms of supporting each other to have bigger and grander visions of what was actually possible for you.
Absolutely.
So I was just wondering if you could actually dive in a little bit more and tell us about this whole honing process of actually being introduced to the concept of goal setting and then really crafting your own methodology and way of guiding people through goal setting.
That's a lot of information. You are right. I never teach anything I don't do. I'm very adamant about being congruent that way. And what began to hone it was I learned how to do it in my own life, kind of going through an NLP way, meaning overcoming why am I sabotaging myself? What beliefs are limiting me from getting what I want? What is mentally standing in the way of me achieving anything? And so learning how to work with those principles of overcoming the mental sabotage. And then what started to hone it was the fact that I began to realize you could work with this information with anyone. It didn't matter if I was working with a business person, the same principles applied. If I was working with an athlete, who's actually some of my favorite clientele is athletes, and the same thing applied. And it was just by putting so many different people through the process and seeing their results that I started to get clearer and clearer on what people needed to be successful in getting goals and what that looked like, and the fact that it was universal, that success principles are universal. When Bruce and I worked together, how it honed it was I did a lot of cleaning up the back end, like looking at why you haven't been getting what you wanted and how to fix that. And then Bruce's principles that I've taken on and started teaching was about how to, with even more clarity, design where you're going and design your own future and exactly how you can get those goals.
Yeah. Just, again, speaking from my own personal experience of the workshop, I thought just the two energies that you actually brought to that workshop were really empowering, with the actual creating a frame of big possibilities, but also really spending some time looking at the things that also hold people back.
And like you said, you want to talk about the big goals and possibilities. And once again, for everyone who's listening in that was concerned about having their goals be too big or unrealistic, we have taken this work because our passions and goals were huge. And we went to South Africa and we're talking about post-apartheid mindset. That's huge. I'm taking this now to California, where I'm co-presenting with another therapist, Wendy Friesen, dealing with addictions and a new alternate way, an empowering way to deal with drug addictions, porn addictions, gambling addictions. So this work, the goals we have are huge, and therefore the work that we're getting to do is huge.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, another one of the things that I really like about your work, Jamie, is I guess it's almost like a philosophical framework that each and every single one of us are perfect as we are. And I think it's just a really refreshing way of thinking about the world, because like a lot of material in the personal development world will probably get people to think otherwise. And I was just wondering if you could share a little bit more information about that sort of philosophical approach.
Absolutely. And where that came from, once again, was years of doing this kind of NLP work and coaching one-on-one. And I've always told people, be it in a group or one-on-one, my entire job is to make you be successful at whatever that is you want. And just fundamentally, by focusing on your flaws, by looking at all the ways that you're wrong or you're imperfect, it doesn't set you up for success, ever. By focusing on what you perceive as bad and going through the chain of your thoughts are going to lead to your feelings leading to your actions to your results. If you're focusing and thinking about what you perceive as wrong about yourself, you're going to feel discouraged, you're going to feel disempowered, you're going to feel fearful. You're not going to take the robust actions that you need to take to achieve a big goal, and the result is you're going to, in your mind, fail. And all you're going to do is reinforce those thoughts about how imperfect you are. So the whole system is flawed. And then to flip it completely the other way, the most empowering work I do with people is have them look at those, what they perceive as a flaw, and find what their biggest advantage is in that and how it's going to get them exactly where they want to go. My biggest example of this is a few years ago I got asked by a fairly big training company to come out and audition for them down in the States. And I was completely pumped. I thought this was it. I knew I had a goal to be a speaker, to be international, to make a certain amount of money, all these things. I spent every last penny I had flying down there, getting prepared, getting accommodations, all these things. And to be honest, still in my opinion, I did phenomenal. I was thrilled with the audition. I thought I had nailed it. And when they called up the final 10 people on stage that were going to be chosen and trained, I wasn't one of them. And there was only 40 of us there. It was a very select group that got asked. And I was shocked. I was just crying. I couldn't stop the tears because I was so disappointed. And right there, the thing that struck me the most, though, is everyone they picked, with the exception of one or two people, was a male in their 40s.
Okay.
So I looked on that stage and thought, oh my God, I don't look like an international speaker and trainer, right? I don't fit the role. I'm not perfect. I'm a young female. I'm all these things. But I once again walked my own talk, and to be honest, I cried all the way through the airport, all the way home. Once I collected myself back home, I thought, well, I can let this validate why I'm not good enough and why this will never work. I can find what the advantage is. And what I grabbed onto from that was, you know what, if everyone doing this, you know, in my mind at that time, is a male in their 40s, well then damn it, they sure need a young female up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's going to be people that are going to be attracted to me and what I have to say and all these things. And so instead of looking at that as yet another way that I was wrong or didn't fit, I decided it was my biggest advantage. And the minute I made that mental shift, everything started to take off in my career.
Yeah. And then you do see that time and time again with successful people all over the world, where they've taken some, whether it's a flaw or an adversity or a challenge that they've come up against, and really use that as fuel for actually achieving tremendous things in the world. And often people who've had all the I guess support, all the trappings, and they literally don't have the same tenacity to get up and create remarkable things. So,
oh, absolutely. There's a young gentleman, once again, because I'm doing this work focusing on addictions in the States, who told me this story that just absolutely slayed me. He said, you know, when you have an addiction and you've screwed up your life, people treat you like you can't handle anything and you're such a loser, and you start to think that. And then all of a sudden I was like, I used to get up at 3 in the morning, shake myself off, puke, get in a car, drive 2 hours, give some random stranger $400, hope he'd bring me the right stuff back and not shoot me, go back home and do it again. And then now I wonder if I can function in normal society. Average people can't do that. So it's about flipping that that and going, yeah, you're pretty powerful. I could get that channeled. Like, I couldn't do that. He's like, I used to do it every day. Like, and people wonder if I can work at a hardware store now. Yeah, I think I can handle it.
I like it. And there was something I just wanted to go back to as well, Jamie, because you touched on four very, very important things that I just wanted to go into a bit more detail, and they are thoughts, feelings, actions, and results. Mm-hmm. And like, I was just wondering if you could just take a bit of time just to explain the whole flow of how thoughts, feelings, actions, and results work in terms of achieving what it is that you want to achieve.
Oh, it's absolutely imperative. Whenever I do workshops on goals, the one reason people usually get frustrated is they decide they're going to achieve a goal, or they decide they're going to make a change, and they really mean it this time, and then 2 weeks later they're doing the same thing, and they get frustrated, and then they start to feel like a failure, and that whole negative feedback cycle just escalates. But the problem is most people try to change their actions. Okay, I have this fitness goal, I'm going to start going to the gym. Oh, I have this financial goal, I'm going to start working extra hours. But the feelings that feed those actions, the thoughts that feed those feelings, and then even deeper than that, the beliefs that feed those thoughts, if those aren't changed, it's the equivalent of just popping a head off a dandelion. It's going to grow back. You need to get right down and get out the root and change the root. And that's the beliefs and the thoughts. So that's once again when I say with people, when I'm working with them with goals, it's not just about setting a goal, which some people think. It's about getting into the thinking that's preventing them from getting there and cleaning that up that's going to lead to their success.
Excellent. So I definitely think that's worth noting down for people on the call. So,
well, and one, actually, I'm going to expand on that then.
Yeah.
One very quick thing you can do at home to start to examine this is I'll have people write down, what is the result you want? With complete clarity, make it specific. Then take it back and go, okay, what action am I going to have to do to get that result, to take it back? What am I going to have to feel to take that action and take that back? What am I going to have to be thinking to get that feeling? And taking that back, what do I have to believe? And that's where the gold comes when it comes to getting your gold, is taking it back and realizing I need to be thinking and feeling and believing this in order to achieve it.
Great. I was wondering, Jamie, if you could actually use a personal example of say, becoming an international facilitator and workshop leader, and how you had that as a clear vision and goal in your mind, and how did you actually use the thoughts, feelings, actions, and then results process to really create that?
Oh, that's actually a pretty simple one, because like I said, I was doing lots of little workshops locally, and I didn't really understand how anyone kind of made the leap from one to the next, and, you know, I saw these big polished guys that were on their mics and in their suits, and I thought, shoot, like, that's not me. How am I going to do this? So I looked at the result. What do I want to do? I want to be traveling around the world X amount of times a year speaking, doing workshops. Okay, what's the action I'm going to have to take? I'm going to have to, and to be honest, I can't remember the specific action I had nailed down for that. But before that, what did I have to feel? I had to feel excited. I had to feel confident. That was one of the big keys. So to look at that, what did I have to be thinking? I had to be thinking, I can do this. This is great. When does it start? Mm. As opposed to when a lot of people are thinking about their goals, going, oh, am I good enough? Who's going to believe it? Oh, who's going to buy tickets and come? Because the minute you think that, you start a different chain of events.
Mm.
Right? Then you start to feel worried or nervous, and then do you take this really bold action, like flying down to the States when you have no money? No, you don't.
Mm.
Right? And do you get any results? No. So I had to get that thinking about how great and how exciting it was going to be. But more importantly, I realized the belief I had to have in order to continually produce that thought was that I was the best female trainer in the world. Now, this actually typically brings out a rise in people, no matter what their goal is. And I say, well, you have to think that you are the best at blah, blah, blah. And they're like, but I'm not.
Mm.
Then I'm lying to myself. But at the end of the day, until you get that belief, you will never get the results. People want that result to affirm the belief.
Mm.
And I do this with athletes all the time, but I haven't made the national team yet. How can I think I'm the best in Canada or the best in wherever? But until they believe that, they're never going to be acting congruently and confidently enough on the field to get that result and get chosen.
Mm.
So people have to make those mental shifts first, and everything else will start to come out to align with that.
Yeah. That is powerful advice. I do like the story about Muhammad Ali, and he was someone who told everyone that he was the greatest long before anyone had actually acknowledge him as such. So.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, once again, I set people up for success. I want to set you up so this is as easy as possible for you to achieve. And if you keep your goals a big secret and you don't declare that and believe that, how are the right people and opportunities going to find you?
Mm.
Right, like even with this addiction work, this has only started for me a few months ago, but for about the past 8 months, I have told people I'm interested in working with addicts. I want to use this mind, the mind stuff I do with addictions. I think there's a role for this with addiction. And I've been talking about it for months, and then boom, I got this phone call. We're going to pay you, come down to California, we're going to put you up, let's do this.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why no goal to me seems unrealistic anymore, because I just decided this was something I wanted to do, kept telling everyone until the opportunity arose.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Now, often with just in my peer group over here, I have friends with quite a lot of entrepreneurial people, and it is a quality I see with entrepreneurial people, or people setting up their business, that they often have this incredible ability to talk things into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And often with entrepreneurial people, they'll have a thought or an idea for a business, and literally that thought from the beginning only exists in their mind, and then it's just really interesting to see how that particular thought then catches in the minds of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And really it is just through communicating that excitement, that I guess that kernel of greatness that's inside of you into the minds of other people, and then...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because few people achieve... I mean, no one really achieves anything great by themselves in the long run. So you may as well start talking about it now, because it's going to be the right connections and the right networks and the right opportunities that come from other people that achieve whatever that big, juicy goal is. So talk about it.
Great. Cool. Now, Jamie, we had lots of questions that actually came through the site. I'm just going to go through a few of them now, or a handful of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start off with a question from Belinda. And Belinda's question was, how do you identify the goal that you will follow through on, and not just ones that make you feel momentarily excited?
That's a great question, and I'm going to actually tie that to some others that were similar. A lot of times people want to set a goal, and they can't decide which is the right one, or they say, I know I need a new career, but I don't know what it's going to be. So to get people started on that one, the simplest thing I have them do is go out in the future, and they can pick whatever they're aiming at, if it's 2 years or 5 years or 50 years, and I have them just notice in their perfect life where they've achieved whatever this goal is, and they're amazingly happy. What are their senses perceiving? So what does this look like? So when people don't know what their career is for a big goal, I go, okay, in your perfect job, open your eyes. Are you surrounded by people? Is there hustle and bustle? Is it a busy office? Or are you on your own? Is it a really tranquil, mellow feeling? Do you hear laughter and lots of voices, or do you hear silence, or do you hear, you know, booming background music? Are you feeling pumped up and energized and on top of things, rush, 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 or are you feeling creative and, you know, all these different things? And once you start to use the senses, even if you don't know what that career or job is, you've started to define it, and it's like you've made yourself a checklist. So as the opportunities come to you, you can compare and contrast and see if you're on the right track or not.
Mm.
So same thing when people are unsure about what that big goal is and they keep losing interest. Define what that is. What are you aiming at in life? What qualities do you want it to have? And then, yeah, some things still might make you feel momentarily excited, but the ones that match that criteria, that list that you've made, those are the ones that are going to stick around.
Mm. Brilliant. I think that is powerful, yeah, and particularly looking up into the future and seeing, like, if that goal excites you today, and then just would that goal still excite you 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so a lot of times, too, I take people right out to when they're 80, 90 and have them look back and think, what have they achieved in their life? What do they want to be known for? And in that moment, you're going to elicit what their values are. And if you align your goal to what their values are, the more motivated people are going to be, the more they're going to jump out of bed in the morning and actually work at this.
Yeah. There was a question that came through about values and goals. It's probably a really good time to just dig a little deeper into that concept. I was just wondering if you could expand on that, Jamie.
Basically, you really need to... the biggest question people often ask is why they can't focus on their goals or why they lose interest. And typically that's when your goals aren't aligned with your values or aren't aligned with what lights you up the most.
Mm.
Common example of this is people will set money goals, but they don't value money. So they'll set the goal, I'm going to make $100,000 this year, and then it doesn't happen, and then they procrastinate, they don't do any work on it. And I'll go, what do you think about money? Well, I don't really care about money. Okay, perfect, let's not make that the goal. Yeah. What do you want when you have that money? Oh, I want to actually take my family on vacation. I want to put a down payment on a place to live. I want to, and once they start saying all those things money will give them, what they value, which is time with their family, then they get lit up. Then they don't procrastinate. But oftentimes, if people haven't aligned what they're aiming at with what they truly value, that's where lack of motivation, lack of focus comes into play.
Okay. And how would someone go about actually finding out their true values?
Looking, the quick and easy way is looking at what you already spend time and money on.
Okay.
Because whatever you're already doing, that's what you value. Is it going on exotic trips? Is it education? Is it luxurious acts? Is it your family and friends? Is it freedom? Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Right, part of me, a big part of it was, one of my big values was freedom and adventure. And I used to sabotage my business actually with that because I would continually change my business focus. Because doing the same thing all the time bored me.
Mm.
It was that simple, but I could never reach the goal of a successful business. But it's funny you asked why I started traveling. Well, that was for my own success because I realized if I kept doing the same work, but I did it in different locations with different demographics, that would keep it fresh and exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly why my business has taken off now, because I finally aligned that goal of a successful business with what I really valued, which was freedom and adventure, and now I actually work on it instead of going, oh God, the more I work at this, the more I'm going to be tied down, the more boring it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very powerful point. Mm-hmm. And then just sort of to go back to the spending money, what people spend money on their values. I heard a coach in the States actually remark that if you really wanted to get to know someone, just take the last couple of months of their credit card statements and actually see what they've actually spent money on, because just by looking at the credit card statements, you get a really clear picture of what that person values, and you can see whether they're down the pub drinking Budweiser or whether they're on a personal development seminar or whether they're traveling to fun places.
Absolutely.
You get a really clear portrait of those people.
Absolutely. That's brilliant.
Great. Now, I'm going to jump onto a question from Tara. And Tara says, I've set many big goals in the past and not reached them. How do I make sure that my goals are achievable without making them too small?
The whole thing about size of goals comes up a lot, and this is my philosophy. No one else has to take it on, but I very much tell people to set hugely, wildly unrealistic goals, because they never honestly know what's achievable. And there's also that saying that anyone that's achieved anything great didn't know how they were going to do it.
Mm.
So I always say, if you know exactly how you're going to achieve your goal, it's too small.
Mm.
A lot of times, with the example you just gave, too, people get tripped up on the word goal. Because they've used the word goal, they think if they haven't achieved it in X number of days, then they failed.
Yeah.
So instead, I like people to look at, like I said, going out in the future 5, 10, 50 years, and look at the life outcomes they want. And once you reframe it in that phase and that phrase and decide that that's what you want and all you focus on is the next step, then you're never really failing. You're just always constantly moving towards that life that you want to create. And that keeps people motivated.
Great. I think that's a good point as well, just in terms of not having to see all the steps on the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
And just having like that big vision of what it is that you want to achieve in life, and just being able to know what the first step you need to take towards that goal is.
It's about breaking it down to that bite-sized piece, because people who are very linear, it can make them very uncomfortable to not have the whole thing mapped out.
Yes.
But I'll often use the example of, even if you're a mountain climber and you have studied all the maps, you know your exact route from the bottom right to the peak of the mountain, all you're really doing at the end of the day is grabbing the next handhold, though. Because you never know, no matter how well you've charted it out, when a rock is going to crumble, when you're going to lose a foothold, when there's been a shift in the topography somewhere and something that wasn't on the map is there.
Mm.
And life is like that. So no matter how secure people feel and how precisely they make out these action plans, life is going to happen.
Mm.
So as long as you keep focusing on the end result, make it really exciting and juicy and enticing, and focus on that next handhold or that next foothold or that next step, it makes everything doable all of a sudden, and it's not overwhelming. And the fear isn't preventing you, because most times it's simply making one phone call can be the next step. And
yeah.
Everyone, no matter going to one place to check out a property or whatever that is that you're aiming at. So just keeping that big and taking the next step.
Yeah, that's very powerful advice.
Mm-hmm. And it's the only way to get anywhere. We just, really it's a human thing that we want to map out every step of the way to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's about just admitting that no matter how well mapped out it is, it's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a good question that I got from Rosalind, and it's a challenge I see lots of people experience with the work that I do as well. And I think largely it's because of society, and we're living in a society really of just endless choice and possibilities these days.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often people feel overwhelmed with all the possible things they could be doing that they don't do anything.
Yeah.
So the question from Rosalind was, how can she actually prioritize her goals? And also she added in just with the context of family, clients and friends,
mm-hmm.
and not sort of chasing after their goals. So
that's a huge question.
So there's two elements there, how to prioritize and then also how to make sure that the goals are sort of working well with the existing friendships
right.
and family structures.
To start off with prioritizing, I'd like to have people start to think of their life a bit more in seasons. Because what happens, like you said, because the possibilities are so endless in today's society, there's a lot of people that will see me then that have the Superman or the Superwoman syndrome, right?
Yes.
So they want to be the powerful corporate executive, they want to be the perfect wife, their husband, they want to have the perfect body, be the perfect parent, have perfect spiritual practices. And at the end of the day, very few people can sustain that in all areas of life.
Mm.
Right, because it's a tremendous amount of energy. And I myself do that. And it's about, once again, being imperfect, forgiving yourself, and carrying on. And so what I mean by seasons is, when I'm traveling, I spent 5 weeks in South Africa in the fall.
Mm.
I very easily gained 10 pounds.
Mm.
I was eating on the road, I didn't have a gym, all these things. Now, I could have beat myself up and went, oh my God, I had a goal to be this fit, you know, and it's all gone to heck. Or I can, you know, decide that for this season, I'll do the best I can, but obviously fitness is not the big priority. The priority is being on stage and starting to understand more the South African demographic that I'm working with.
Mm.
And just deciding that that is the priority goal for that season. And then coming back and going, okay, it's the new year, I have a bit more downtime, let's get the fitness regime up again.
Mm.
Business is doing all right. Because there's a law of maintenance to everything we achieve or every goal we set. And sometimes in the new age world or the self-help world, it's people are so ready to tell everyone that they can do anything, which they can, but to be having all your balls in the air at the same time, juggling them all at the same time, there's maintenance and energy for every one of those.
Mm.
And sometimes to decide that every single one is going to be at its peak is simply not realistic, and then you set yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
Okay. So just thinking of it in seasons and deciding, okay, these are my focuses for the next, however you want to break that up for yourself, 3 months, a year, whatever that is.
Okay. The second part of the question was, like other stakeholders such as family, clients, friends, how do you work in goal setting with people that are important to you?
At the end of the day, goals have to be about you and what you want. They can involve your family in the sense of having a goal of having your family be as harmonious and loving and all those things as possible. But once again, my job is to set people up for success and watch for the ways that they're preventing themselves from getting it. And the goals take, as people know what they've written in, it will take focus, it will take energy, it takes money at times. And if you're doing that for someone else or it's someone else's goal, at the end of the day, the work typically doesn't go in that needs to get done to achieve it, and they end up disappointing themselves and the other people anyways. And a classic example of this I go through with my athletes, if I'm working with young female athletes that I'm specifically thinking of rugby players that I work with back home
okay.
that want to make Team Canada. And it's about fleshing out, are you doing this because you want to be on the field with the maple leaf on your back, tears rolling down your face while the anthem plays? Or do you want to do this because you think it'll get you a boyfriend?
Mm.
Because what's going to get you up at 5 a.m. every day to work out?
Mm.
It's not going to be for someone else. So sometimes when it comes to the pressures of work and friends and family, it's not that you disregard them, because they're incredibly important pieces of your life. But it's about realizing that just doing things for the sake of other people is not going to set you up for success, and it's going to be twice as difficult to achieve whatever that goal is.
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got a question from Paula. And this is a good question as well, actually. It's around attachment. And her question was, how do you set goals without being attached to the outcome?
Depending on what she meant by that, I'm going to answer it the way I'm interpreting it is, it's about being attached to the how that I talk to people about a lot. It's okay to be attached in that sense of you know what you want and you're really pumped up and you've defined that. Where the attachment comes is letting go of how it's going to happen.
Okay.
Because this universe is so vast and there's so much going on that your goal could occur in 15 different ways you've never even thought of. Mm-hmm. So when you get really attached to how it's going to come and what that's going to look like, you limit yourself and you limit the opportunity. So it comes back once again to that simple formula of going out to what you want and defining that and being super excited about that and making sure it's completely in line and congruent with who you are, and then just focus on the next step and what that is, as opposed to attached to the how and if it's coming at the right time. And when you focus on the next step, that means you get to celebrate wins all along the way, because every time you achieve a next step, you get to go, woohoo, I did this, this is awesome, I'm on my way.
Great.
And that way you get to still experience that joy instead of putting that off until you get that big goal.
Yeah. And you must see that quite a lot with athletes as well. So I guess if you're an Olympic athlete, reality is you can only ever pick up a gold medal once every 4 years.
Absolutely.
And you need something else to keep you going and training in between those key
dates. Absolutely. And with my athletes that work on teams, like someone's got to lose, right? So if their entire goal is about winning, I very rarely will work with that. Because that means if they play in the exact way that they want and achieve exactly what they want, but they don't win, they don't get that personal win. It's a huge failure. So I always have my athletes, and this will cross over to business, relationships, whatever you want, is I have them focused on what's it going to look like, feel like, be like when you do the absolute best you can, and they'll define that. And the same thing with a relationship. If you have a goal to be a certain way in a relationship and you do that, even if the relationship doesn't work, why can't you count that as a win?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's something I'm very specific about.
Yeah. That reminds me of heard a story about Tiger Woods, and like Tiger Woods has been number one in the world for quite a number of years, mm-hmm. and almost untouchable. And it's almost like if winning was his only goal, mm-hmm. like it would only ever get him so far. Particularly like when you are number one already.
Right.
So I think that what you just said there was really powerful, Jamie, because it also gives you something to continually motivate yourself when you are the
best. Oh, yeah, that's a great point, because if for him to win a championship, that was it, then he'd be done and all his motivation would be gone.
Exactly, yeah.
So he's obviously setting some kind of personal goals that involve enhancing his performance every time.
Yeah.
So that's a great point.
It's a really good tip for people who are already at the top of their game and they're looking to maintain that edge.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Great. Okay, now this is a question from Claire, and this question actually came up in a lot of the questions, and I'll just read it out to you. It's, what are your suggestions for goal setting when the idea of big actually triggers feelings of being overwhelmed, procrastination, doubt, and fear?
Couple ways to answer that. A, to reassure people that's a very typical reaction, especially if you came once again from a background like me where you didn't set goals.
Mm.
That was for other people, right? That was a lofty thing that you did. We were just surviving. And I'm going to use a very simple example that I use when I teach kids about goals. I went into a junior high class, and they get taught long-term goals and short-term goals, and they think it's the boringest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And so they avoid it just like adults avoid it because it's scary. And I said to this one little girl, I said, well, hey, tell me what kind of goals you're setting. And she said, well, not to be late for school. And I said, well, why is that an important goal for you? Well, because then I won't get detention. Now, let's examine that for a moment. How exciting is that? I'm going to not get detention. Doesn't really make you jump out of bed in the morning, right? And what adults tend to do when they set goals and why they avoid it is they tend to be like, okay, I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be single. And they're looking at all the stuff they want to move away from.
Mm.
And that doesn't make it an exciting thing to do. So I said to this girl, I said, well, what's going to happen when you don't get detention? Well, then I get to go to the mall after school with my friend Katie. Okay, well, goal to see how many times a week you can go to the mall with Katie after school. Oh, well, that would be awesome.
Mm.
So it's about framing it. It's about when it comes to setting goals, like not even letting the doubt, the worry, any of that creep in yet. Just take it as playtime to create your life. Like you had a magic paintbrush. What do you want? What would you want? I don't care how to do it. Let go of the how.
Mm.
And just decide that if you're taking 1, 2, 3 hours about what are you moving towards, what do you want in your life, and just focusing on that and the things that light you up. And that has to feel good.
Look, I have seen this with work, my work as well, with, I guess, the moving away strategies and the moving towards strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Often, like a lot of people will have a moving away strategy, and that can actually be quite effective. So, it could be that, okay, my job sucks, and then all of a sudden I've got to stop this job at absolutely all costs, and then they'll quit the job, and then literally that pain ceases momentarily. But because they haven't set a big goal for that new business or that new job opportunity, that moving away strategy only gets them so far. Like it probably,
because then they're in a void and they flounder because they don't know what they're aiming at.
Yes,
the other thing that happens when people do move away, and I see this tons with fitness and weight, is that someone will look in the mirror and decide, oh my God, you disgusting slob, this has to stop. They clean out the house, they chuck out all the biscuits and whatever else,
yeah.
And they start to get in shape. And then 2 weeks later, they look in the mirror and they go, oh, you know, this is starting to happen, and I've been eating good, and, you know, da-da-da. They're not in pain anymore.
Mm.
So what's the first thing they do? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I can go for that pizza and beer tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And they backslide until they're in that area of pain. Oh, God, you're disgusting. Start again. And people get caught in that cycle, and they never get over it into moving towards, I'm super excited about being fit and sexy and healthy and whatever that is they're moving towards.
Yes.
They just don't want to be in pain, but once they're out of pain, then their motivation is gone.
Yeah. So are there any tips for people who may have been using that strategy to start off? Like, how do they actually cross over from using and moving away to or
a lot of
moving
people
towards?
Who have written in even and said that they had these certain goals set up but they didn't get them, I would examine if they're moving away from. I don't want to be broke. I want to be out of debt. And once again, does being out of debt get you lit up? Probably not, because for most people that means just over broke, right? That still doesn't put you in a good place that you're excited to work hard, right? People don't want to work hard to just barely get by. So make it bigger and juicier. What would you want instead? Well, I want to make, you know, so many thousand a year, and focus on that. And once again, if money doesn't light you up, what do you want? What's that going to give you? Well, I want, you know, this many days of holiday, and I want to have this kind of house or this kind of car or clothes or money to spend on my family. Whatever that is really important to you, focus on what that is you want instead of whatever that is you're moving away from.
Okay, brilliant.
Right. And that can make a huge difference in people's daily motivation with what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Okay, I've got a question from Katrina. And Katrina asks, my life is constantly changing, and as a consequence, my goals are constantly changing as well to reflect my new learning and growth. Do you actually recommend that people constantly change their goals as they change?
That's a kind of tricky question and a good one. I'll use my own example. I think even, you know, 6 years ago when I started this, my big goal when I go way out in the future was that I would have some kind of healing center.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I was more involved in the alternative health world, so I assumed it would look like that. And I just kept taking the next step and the next step, and then all the mind NLP stuff just took off in my career. So then the center changed to that it would focus around mind stuff and getting people out in nature and changing their mindsets. Okay, great. I kept taking the next step. And then the mind stuff now is starting to really focus on the people with addictions and the entrepreneurs that are sabotaging in these specific areas. So then now the center I'm seeing is going to hold, you know, specific programs just for this. So in a sense, that really huge goal hasn't changed. But as I've learned and progressed and fine-tuned, some of the details have. And that's totally normal. And typically, if you have a big goal that's aligned with your values and what really lights you up enough, it's not going to change that much. The details will, but the core will stay the same.
Mm.
And if you find it's absolutely, completely all over the board changing, A, that's not really setting you up for success because you're going to keep starting things and stopping and trying other things. I would go even farther into the future then. Go right to your deathbed and look back and decide, what do I want my legacy to be? And get kind of just a feel for that, even if it's a broad feeling, and have your goal around that, and that'll keep you more on track. So you can just take the new things you learn and keep applying it to this one core thing that you value.
Brilliant. Excellent.
So not to say change is bad, but like I was doing in my business, at the end of the day, if you keep changing it constantly, you're not going to be as successful as you could be.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Mm-hmm. Now we had a bit of a longer question from Mark, and Mark asked, what's the silver bullet with respect to managing your focus and intention towards your goals? Some experts say that you only have to ask the universe once. Others would argue that the greater your intention and the repeated focus, the more energy is directed towards the goals, the more rapidly they will manifest. And he was just curious about like where you were on that continuum.
I can't remember. I think it was The Secret that used this example, and I thought it was brilliant. But they said, when you ask the universe for something, it's like ordering from a catalog. And if you ordered something from a catalog, would you phone them every day and reorder it?
Mm-hmm.
And double check and say, do you have my order? Did you know this is what I want? And, oh, by the way, did you know I wanted item page on page 14? And, you know, and we laugh. But when we set a goal, it's kind of the same way. Because if every single day you're going, oh, my God, I want this. Yes, oh, ooh, ah. On some level, you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But what you do when you order something from a catalog is you place the order and then you act as if it's coming. Right? I'll use a good old Canadian example, right? You order a new hockey stick. Do you phone every day and check on it? No. But what are you going to do in the meantime? You're going to get your skate sharpened. You're going to, you know, get all your equipment together. You're going to check out the rink times. So with your life, you can set that goal once and let it go, but take the action with complete confidence that you know it's coming and it's going to happen. So spend the time and energy on that action as opposed to every day going, okay, yes, this is coming, I hope.
Cool. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've had a question from Helena. And she was having trouble creating longer-term goals. And this is what she said. I'm blanking on creating longer-term goals and also on letting myself even imagine what those might be. Can you help? So, just wondering if you could probably just talk about long-term goal setting versus short-term goal setting and how they relate to each other.
Once again, to break that down, I look at long-term goals as that big, shiny, juicy life outcome, and short-term goals as that next step, right? I want to have this huge, impactful, you know, whatever that business is, that's the big, juicy goal. The next step might be creating a budget, getting a business coach, making these phone calls, and those are your short-term ones.
Okay.
And then the big long-term one is what that's going to look like.
Okay. Brilliant.
And the one key question, actually, I'm going to throw in there as well, I think it was Robert Shuller that came up with this, is the phrase, if you knew you could not fail but could only succeed, what would you really want? And for those people that have trouble sitting down and imagining something and going, oh goodness, that's unrealistic. Is this too big? Is this too small? It's a magical phrase because just by presupposing, if I knew I could not fail but could only succeed, typically people have a different answer than if I just say, okay, what do you want in the future?
Yeah.
Because they'll limit it automatically.
Yeah. And with the work that you do, Jamie, in seminars, have you seen some of those real aha moments with people just asking that question, that very question?
Yes, I did this just the other day with a bunch of people that worked in a local college. I got hired to do their professional development.
Okay.
And this girl was just fighting me tooth and nail on it. And so, of course, I've done this long enough, I don't get fazed. I knew something was up. She's like, but you're going to fail along the way, and you're going to this, and you're going to that. And I was kind of just waiting for the light bulb to come to see what the problem was. And she burst into tears finally and said, I don't want to answer this question. And I said, why? And she said, because if I answer it truthfully, it's not what I'm going to school for. Right? So it's amazing what comes up because we just set these goals sometimes we think we're supposed to have and we go down these set paths.
Yeah.
And when you really look at your heart desire, if you could not fail, what do you truly want, then it makes you become aware of what you're doing right now that doesn't match that.
Yeah.
you know, and that can be the sobering point with it too.
And I guess like it's up to each individual to keep getting more and more congruent with who they are and how they show up in the world to make sure that those goals are a true expression of who they are.
Absolutely.
Excellent. I just have one last question actually from Carol. And Carol wanted to know how to actually keep going in spite of knockbacks. And then you touched on this a little earlier on with your example with going to America and auditioning for that public speaking role. But what are some practical tips for people to actually deal with
right now to whether or not you believe in failure is a huge one I work with myself and with others on.
Okay.
Because if you just take everything that happens as feedback, then it's never an issue. Even though you didn't get where you wanted to go, my example, even if I didn't get the job, I just used it as feedback. Okay, I don't fit in this mold. Where else can I fit? So at the end of the day, if you have big goals, there's going to be knockbacks. If you don't have any falls or mistakes, your goal isn't big enough, is the way I view it. So once again, taking on that view alone makes it not a big deal. The other example, and I got this from Bruce that I love, is the example of a guided missile or a GPS. All these things only work because there's feedback.
Mm.
With a GPS, you can load it into your car, but until your car starts moving and you get feedback, it won't tell you anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can set all the goals you want, but until you start to take action and get response, you don't know if you're on the right track or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes my great learning experience this year was learning that you get feedback even when you get your goal. I wanted to travel X amount of days a year doing international speaking. And after 5 weeks in South Africa, I came home, and my own feedback was, I never want to be gone for that long again. You know, and it's funny because I got my goal, but it didn't mean that there wasn't feedback. It didn't mean it was a failure. It was absolutely life-changing experience, but then I took the feedback and went, okay, let's set the goal that I'm only gone for X amount of days.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really powerful point, actually, because you often see that with a lot of people who get what they want, and they actually, that comment of actually being careful of asking.
Oh, yeah.
Be careful of what you ask for, because often you'll get exactly that.
Oh, yeah.
And you see lots of people who may have the ladder placed up against the wrong wall, and they actually get the goal that they were going up for, but then it could be a hollow experience.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why you keep re-goal setting, too. Actually, that's another thing I do with my clients, because sometimes people just set this one huge goal for, say, in 1 year. It's like they forget about the rest of their life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once that's achieved, they just have this huge letdown. So it's always about setting, where do you want to be in 1 year, 10 years, 50 years?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's always something drawing you forward like a magnet.
Yeah. That's really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Once again, that happens with athletes, because I get athletes that they're just focused on the next World Cup or the next whatever.
Mm.
But if you haven't, of course you have to focus on, like, so much energy on that. But if you don't kind of also look beyond that, once that experience is over, you can be in a real dip after that.
Yeah. It's whether to set a goal for the next match, the season, or the career as an athlete.
Yeah,
an example.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Fantastic, Tammy. Well, yeah, really cool. Now, I'm sure people have been inspired by the thoughts that you've shared on the call this evening. I certainly have been. We did mention earlier when we were talking offline that hopefully you will be coming to London, but it's certainly not confirmed yet. But you may be doing some dates with Wendy and Bruce.
Absolutely, because it looks like Wendy and I are going there, and then if I'm saying this right now, I hope Bruce is listening. That means him and I will do another seminar together as well.
Yeah. So what we're in eager anticipation to see whether you guys can get back over to London.
Absolutely.
I was just wondering if people did want to get in touch with you and keep abreast of all the things that you're up to and potentially grab coaching or be inspired through your newsletters. I was just wondering if you could direct them into what they need to do.
Absolutely. They can just go to my website, which is www.motivationinmotion.ca. And just to notice that it's not com, it's .ca. It's a Canadian website. And that way they can sign up for an email list or just look at the event schedule on there, and they can see kind of what area of the world I'm in and what I have going on. Or if they want to contact me for any kind of one-on-ones, all the information's on there as well.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay, so that was for people who are writing it down, motivationinmotion.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome back. Sorry, everyone. We just actually got cut off by the conference line, so apologies for that. But before we actually finish up the teleseminar this evening, there was one question that I wanted to ask Jamie. And Jamie, that question is, what's next on your goal list? What big things do you want to achieve in 2008?
My big goal for 2008 is to really start to make an impact in the world of addiction with this work. And that is working with addicts or alcoholics, whatever form that is, to help them realize that they do have the ability and the potential to rewire their mind, reprogram their beliefs and thoughts, to lead a life where it is not dictated simply by this addiction and these cravings and all the shame and guilt and everything that goes along with it. And my partner in this work down in California has the exact same dream. And so in 2008, I really want to make an impact, providing an alternative program for people dealing with addictions if the traditional 12-step methodology is not working for them, which is about 90% of the population.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And does that actually, one question I did want to ask you, does that actually involve your drumming, because you are a renowned drummer?
That is another brilliant example of when people tell me about realistic goals, like there's no space in my life for realistic goals, because half of my business is using African drumming to help get people inspired and lit up and out of their comfort zones and re-energized. And what had happened with this work I'm doing in California is that we are using NLP re-mind conditioning programs with addiction, and then we're using the drums to help add a kinesthetic experience to drum in the experiences, and also to help make neural connections in people's minds that there's other ways they can feel high, or they can feel release, or they can feel like they're being heard, all these profound things through the drums. So it's been a huge, crazy dream that I could actually combine my NLP work with African drumming, which, once again, for any of the people that want realistic goals, there is nothing realistic about that. Absolutely nothing. And it's occurring. It is absolutely occurring, and the drumming is a key part to those seminars to help people really have some breakthrough experiences. So it's just outstanding.
Excellent. Well, Jamie, I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you so much for sharing your time and your experience, and also your deep passion for helping people thrive in this world. It's been an absolute pleasure to share the last hour with you. And for people on the call or listening to this recording, if you do want to find out more about Jamie, if you just log on to www.motivationinmotion.ca, and if you can sign up for Jamie's newsletter there, or if you do want to get coaching or keep in touch with Jamie for her upcoming events, you can also find out that information there. So great. Excellent, Jamie. I wish you all the best. Really look forward to the possibility that you may be in London later on in the spring. And I wish you well and look forward to spending some time with you in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, Damien.
Okay, take care. Thanks, everyone.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.